I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM radio. And of course, we are available on the internet. You can go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, click on Listen Live. If you have Alexa, Alexa, 860 AM radio. And there's all sorts of ways to listen to the rebroadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In fact, I have an Alexa in the room over here, and I didn't want to say it too loud because it automatically starts, you know, lighting up and waiting for the next few words. But we do have a very nice group of people that listen to us and enjoy what we have to say. And everyone always says to me, Michael, if only the national media would get together and start to cover ideas like you share during the broadcast, America would be really a much better place. I want to say a special thank you to the people that help us to make our broadcast interesting and, of course, a success and help us spread the word. I'd like to also say thank you to the many broadcasters on various stations that repeat my weekly commentaries on their weekend programs. And of course, also during the commentary, mention the fact that we are here on 860. A lot of those people do listen on the internet. And as I said before, you can always listen by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And my thanks to Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, who is out and about today, so we won't hear from him. And Larkin Conley, the National Small Business Advocate, and Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash. Well, as we begin our broadcast on this Wednesday, March the 17th, I'd like to extend best wishes to all of our Irish American listeners and supporters as we celebrate the exact day of St. Patrick's Day. As I said during our Saturday broadcast, on St. Patrick's Day, we're all Irish, so today we'll spread a little Irish cheer. And I want to know that since we have many Polish American and Irish American listeners, we have a lot that we've stood together on over the years. In fact, many Irish people not only came to America between 1847 and 1854 during what was known as the Great Famine, they also traveled from Ireland through England and then into Poland and settled there. And many of them, just like in America, they never went back home. And that's why Poland has a sizable collection of all nationalities. And Irish is one of the well-known nationalities. In fact, when I was in Poland, they have an Irish-Polish society. And if you go to Ireland, they have an Irish-Polish society too. In fact, I think they have a number of Facebook pages, but one of them is the Irish-Polish Society, and it's a pretty, you know, interesting group. Also, when I visited Europe, I noticed that a lot of the visitors were from Ireland, and because they have a lot of family in Ireland. And in Ireland, if you go to Ireland, you'll find that Polish is the second most spoken language in all of Ireland. And that's the same in England and many other countries where the Polish people immigrated during the partitions of Poland and during that same time period and after the Great Famine in Ireland. So we have a great connection. And in America, it's the same thing. The Irish and the Polish are united through intermarriages and friendships, and we support one another. In fact, if you want to know what's taking place in the Irish American community, all you have to do is go to the front page of American PolishAmericanCenter.com, and you'll see there's a link on there. They had a rebroadcast of some of past parades on Sunday on TV29 and their Facebook page. They did some special fundraising to keep all of this going on during this unbelievable time of this coronavirus, which really has hurt so many people and so many organizations trying to do good work in the community. And of course, Larkin Conley is a man of Irish heritage, so we'll have to get some words of wisdom from him today. And maybe he's going to have to take a trip to Ireland and enjoy some good Polish kielbasa there in some of the big cities. Some people come back and they say, I went to Ireland, I went to the stores, and they have all these Polish cookies and kielbasa and everything else. I said, well, thank God we're all one people and we love each other. I'd like to spend some time today on current events and also some of our accomplishments. And believe it or not, we have more accomplishments than we give ourselves credit for. We talk about a lot of what could be and should be done, and that we worked, you know, very hard on doing this and that. However, we've done a lot really to influence a lot of good things in the United States of America. And if the national leaders and the national press did what we were doing, it would be a lot better. We're talking about Republicans and Democrats and independents and all. My thing is, I'm not worried about Democrats, Republicans, or independents. I'm worried about American people, so that my children, my grandchildren, your grandchildren will be able to have a good life here in the greatest country on earth. So I'd like to turn today for words of wisdom for our reigning Irishman, Larkin Conley. Tell us everything.
That would be Larkin Patrick John Emmett Connolly to
you.
Well,
at the end of the show today, we are going to play a special selection, one that I used on my Saturday show today. We got it all geared up for Larkin Patrick Connolly. Patrick Joseph Conley. Okay. So you're celebrating two things this week. You're celebrating St. Patrick's today and on Friday, St. Joseph's Day. Hey, this is how it is. This is how they chose this. Somehow the Irish do Wednesday, the Polish do Saturday Friday.
He said John Emmett. I don't think.
Oh, John Emmett. Well, the same. That's all the same. Tell me everything, Larkin.
If I knew everything, I would, in fact, embark on attempting to tell you everything. Michael, good morning. Mark, wherever you are, I hope you're having a healthy day. I know Mr. Logis is on with us today, and to all of our listeners, a happy St. Patty's Day. Aaron Dobraw, and I used to write notes to people and thank them very much and use that Irish say Aaron go bra, but I used to spell bra, B-R-A. So that was, I guess, some proof that I've never been to Ireland. I'm going to hold fast on the promise that I made 3 months ago and not criticize Joe Biden, President Joe, until his 100th day comes. He does have me saying, oh my, quite a bit. And I have spent some time trying to figure out exactly how this all works together. But I'm very much looking forward to next Thursday's press conference. And I hope that the national press gets by asking him what was the first meal he had in the White House pretty quickly and gets down to some really good, hard, tough questions that allow him to explain exactly why he's doing a lot of the things that he's doing.
Larkin, when that is done, I am going to offer some opinions on what happens at the press conference, because a lot of the things that are happening in this country should not be at the discretion of just the people in Washington or the president. Take, for instance, immigration to the United States. Let's look at immigration from a long time ago, when the people were coming from all the Eastern European countries and other nations of the world. They were invited by businesses because we didn't have enough adults in America, and we were bringing the Industrial Revolution up, up, up. They were inviting whole families to come so that they could work in every job imaginable. That's not the situation today. America is struggling by making it that you have to be sponsored to come to America. You have to have a reason to come to America. That's different. But just running over the back wall or the side wall, or whatever, it doesn't make sense to me. And I do not like, for the record, that any president and any members of Congress should be doing this on their own. This should be done. This should be done at the ballot box, and it should be a referendum of how people come to this country, what is the reason they're coming to this country, and how are we going to welcome them with dignity, knowing that we have poverty in America and don't have enough jobs for the people here in this country right now.
So that's really one of my main questions of the Biden administration. And of Washington altogether. Washington is just a mess. They are, why they haven't done something about the border is so far beyond me, I can't even imagine. And again, it takes lengthy discussions with the Biden administration. Nobody wants to talk about it. The press covers it, but in a very weak way. But what Washington really, in the depths of all things, what Washington does is they completely void themselves of a pragmatic approach to the issues that face this country. If you stop and think about it, immigration and the minimum wage are so interrelated, it's not funny.
Absolutely.
You are going to take the entry-level wage. And back in the day, because I had a lot of people that, I had 15,000 people working for us that were genuinely entry-level. And they were either retirees looking for a little bit of extra cash, or they were truly seniors in high school to seniors in college, just working their way through school that were working in one of our stores. Now we have taken entry-level jobs and turned them into career positions at $15 an hour. I'm not arguing the minimum wage. This is not my argument. All I'm arguing is that they don't pragmatically put the two problems together and try to figure out a solution. As that minimum wage goes up, the number of jobs, believe me when I tell you, the number of jobs in that entry-level positions, those first four rungs on a career ladder, are going to shrink. And as the minimum wage at the same time goes from $7 to $15, there are people in Guatemala saying, if you can walk or ride 750 miles or whatever it is, 1,200 miles to the Texas border and get in that country, you're going to make $15 an hour. You're making $15 a week in this country. Now you're going to be making $15 an hour. So now all of a sudden we have this flood of immigrants that are looking for entry-level jobs in a marketplace where the minimum wage is shrinking the number of jobs available. Nobody puts one and two together to figure out how to get to three. Nobody does. All they think, that it's two entirely different subjects to them. When the subjects are so interrelated, it's not funny.
You're absolutely right. You know, Larkin, any of us have been watching the situation in the United States of America in the last, say, 30 years. We can see very clear that China's leadership over the years understood strength. They understood strength. American leaders wanted to play politics. It was always politics. There was no attention being paid to how are our cities benefiting? Are our cities growing? Are our streets better than they were 3 years ago, 5 years ago? No, it was all politics. China's leaders wanted Chinese to be working and expanding the world industrial revolution during the last 30 years. It started 30 years ago. We started the industrial revolution, and then China took it and expanded it 30, 35 years ago. They just came in so nicely and started to buy up the companies, offer credit to the companies. For 35 years, America's leaders looked at others and the way they were doing businesses and watched jobs leaving this country, and they said very little. They said, oh, well, it's a free market economy. You know, it's a global economy now. All nonsense. This is a nightmare caused by people in Washington, both Democrats and Republicans. There's no difference when it comes to the dollar bill to them.
You're letting CEOs in America off the hook. You always do for reasons I never can.
They are the worst. They are the worst because the investors took the jobs out, but our leaders in Washington said, wait a minute. They should have said from day one, Larkin, where are our people going to have a job? What are they going to do?
Listen, Michael, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You really can't. If you've got a touch of libertarianism in it, it's not in the government's place to do stuff like that. It's a free market. And if you create stuff that's not valuable and it's not good, you know, it's a deep problem. It really is. But you can't let the chairman of the board or the CEO of Walmart, who is charged with improving the bottom line, you can't take him out and burn him in effigy if he did what he was corporately charged to do within the guise of the law and all corporate structures, tax and otherwise. You know, so
okay,
you gotta be careful on who you blame. It's
okay, like, Larkin, I agree 1,000%, but I'm gonna add this. If this is the case, that's wonderful that they moved overseas at the invitation of all these other countries. But when the products come back, we tariff all the products and we use the dollars from the tariffs to pay for our people who are unemployed.
Okay.
It's a simple solution. We haven't tariffed because we gave away so many things in the United States of America. We allowed people to say, oh, it's okay to have everything, you know, at no charge or whatever. Just keep asking. This is not what the original people came to this country to do. They came to America because it was supposed to be the working place where you can have a job, you can have a career, you can move forward. People don't think of that today. Like you said, yes, they're coming and they want to come to try to get the $15 an hour, and God bless them. But the problem we have now is we have 40 million people in poverty or near poverty. How do we help those people? You know, I'm speaking with my social service worker hat on. I'm looking at when people come to me with a resume and I say, it's a great resume, but you're one of 1,000 and there's 1,000 other people who are willing to take your job for $5 less an hour. And they're not Americans. They're here, you know, they're waiting to be given a green card. This is the problem. One thing I learned over the years is don't let anyone tell you you can't do something positive for yourself. I tell that to people all the time. It's up to you to move forward. That's why I beg people to seek out what we have in America in the stores so that those businesses don't pick up and go. That's the main point. The national media doesn't care because their advertisers, Larkin and Rich, are mainly bringing stuff in from overseas. They don't want to anger their advertisers, so they don't put it on their news. David Muir, for a while, was doing, you know, every night he would do something about American made and all. He was called down about it. He was called down about it because advertisers were angered that there was too much focus on the fact that things were being imported.
So, and Michael,
he backed away. Everybody Michael, backs away when it comes to their livelihood. Yes, Lord.
Michael, they're playing by the rules. They're not breaking any laws. They're playing by the rules.
But what rules do you mean?
But they're playing by the rules. There's nothing that says that a guy who advertises, if I advertise cigars on ABC television, and then at the end of one of their news programs, they decide that everybody that calls in, they're going to give a free cigar to, and they give them a cigar other than mine. Am I going to pull my ads? Of course I am.
Well,
you're not talking in logic. You're talking.
But then we have to get our American made to put big advertisements on the station, and to do what we're trying to do is at the end of it, show Made in America. That way people become more interested in the products that they know are employing their sisters and brothers and neighbors. This is something we've not done in this great United States of America, promoted ourselves. China, they know strength and they know the meaning of the dollar bill. The dollar bill. With the dollar bill, China has gone and outsourced not only in China, built empires, but they've gone and they've built empires in other countries, Vietnam, all those places. They did it because they understand with strength. They understand they could fill the American market with products, unbelievable amounts of products. They talked again about replacing some of the screens for the kids and computers and all to give the kids computers because they're home learning and all. Guess what? Not one is made in America. So we are buying huge amounts of computers so that boys and girls can learn virtually at home on a foreign-made computer when computers were big in Texas 30 years ago or 25 years ago when they first came out.
Well, but Michael, nobody in America builds computers.
Why not?
Nor do they build component parts.
Why not?
Because China builds them with 95 cent an hour labor, and we build computers at that level at probably $45 or $50 an hour.
Right.
Labor, depending on the skill level.
Okay, Larkin, do you agree that things should be tariffed?
Well,
I'm saying this.
I don't have an answer. I don't have an opinion.
I'll tell you why I say they should be tariffed. When I visited Europe 10 times, most of the stuff I bought that was foreign to the country, they had the VAT tax, the value added tax. And that was a special tax, just like the sales tax. They charged it with no shame, no second thought.
I think we should go to a flat tax as far as our income tax is concerned. But whatever. I have been told by people much smarter than me that on the whole, they don't work. Tariffs just don't work. One country that I visited longer than I've been to France and Europe and a couple, three or four countries, but I spent 10 days in Italy. There wasn't anything there that wasn't made in Italy. Nothing.
Well, that's right.
Nothing. nothing. They didn't sell cheese that was made someplace else. You couldn't buy prosciutto that wasn't made in Italy. They understood the structure of an economy.
Well, what do we have to do to get that idea of structure of economy in this country, Larkin?
You've just got to explain. It's what I said last week. What we should talk to Keith about at manufacturers.
I did bring that up to Mark, and he's going to work to get him on.
American Manufacturers Association and
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul. Yeah.
Right.
They need to get small businesses united together and appealing to the nation that there is a reason for buying products made by the guy who lives next door to you.
That's right.
And how that eternal economy works. And, it's not influenced by major corporations and big stores. I mean, the second or third day we were there, we went to their largest supermarket in Italy. This is it. This is. They're so proud of these places. I walked in. It was the size of a 7-Eleven. But every town had two or three little markets, and every one of them, I guess, specialized in whatever they did. It's just a different structure. How did we get where we are?
I mean, greed.
You can say greed. There's probably an element of greed involved. Just the circumstances that we're in economically, the fact that minimum wage. We sitting in front of a McDonald's yesterday. We're hiring smiling faces starting at $11 an hour. Mm-hmm. That just goes to prove. I don't think there's anybody in the country paying $7 an hour. Are they $11 an hour? I'm sorry. Hiring smiling faces at $11 an hour. My comment to my wife, who was driving, is there's nobody in America paying $7.25. And if they are, it's a business that's hanging on by its fingertips, trying to either establish itself or, on that universal ride to failure. I don't know. These are very complex problems, and it's so easy to blame Washington, and they have a huge stake in the problem. And it's so easy to forget the corporate America and the big box stores, and they're so easy to forget, and people want to be kind to them. I don't know.
Larkin, I want to mention something here because, working in human services for some time, I hear and I go to different hearings from time to time and I listen what they're saying. The people in the elected offices know about the situation in America. They've known for years and years and years. They talk about how are we going to help get more things to the people in poverty. But they don't talk about one thing. How can we get more jobs in this country to address poverty so that poverty doesn't continue? That's the amazing thing. If you looked at the $1.9 trillion bill, was there $1 in there to create some kind of a new operation to promote jobs in America? Not a penny. So it's all to help, but not to help where it's going to come back to benefit people in the long run. A job, job skills. Larkin, you're a man who always had a job. You always had job skills. Don't you wish that for every person that you know and every person in this country?
Well, of course I do.
Of course,
Michael,
but why aren't these people in Washington then saying, why are we employed? Why are our assistants employed? But we're worrying about giving stuff away to the people, but never addressing the situation of getting them a job so that they can be self-sufficient. Can I turn to Rich Loges? Dr. Rich Loges, you've been listening to an interesting conversation on this St. Patrick's Day. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm going to give a shout out to Mark on something in a moment. Mark and our listeners. So regarding the patron saint of Ireland, Michael, St. Patrick. Let's make sure the record shows that St. Patrick was likely born in Scotland, which at that time was a territory of Britain, and Patrick's parents were Italiano, living on British territory. So using the lineage model, it would mean that the patron saint of corned beef and boiled potatoes is actually a eggplant parmesan and cannoli. Ain't that something?
That's a fact, Rich.
Now that's multiculturalism I can get behind, Larkin, right there. I can get behind that diversity right there. So to our Irish lads and lasses out there, we wish them a...
I think that's how it started, Rich. That's how it started.
St.
Patrick was so confused. He was so confused he had to start drinking right then and there.
Oh, no. I got a whole chapter in my book, Ted Warning Signs, Your Child is Becoming a Democrat, How to Make America Grown Up Again, all about the cult of multiculturalism. So I got to find a P.S. in there somewhere for our patron saint of Ireland. But I wish everyone out there, if you're out and celebrating, just do it safely. You know, just do it safely. It isn't, you'll have another St. Patrick's Day to look forward to and another weekend to do Irish car bombs. So everyone just have a good time out there, but be safe. So that's my little multicultural comment, Michael. Now, here's a serious question. It's not a gotcha question. It's for listeners. I'm certain that Larkin is correct when he's talking about companies not paying $7.25 an hour. That's the federal minimum wage. That's been the federal minimum wage for a decade. That when people are starting out, they're getting paid a little bit more. So let's say a guy who's been at a company, Michael, let's say he's been there for, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, put a lot of time in, probably put some time in he wasn't paid for, and he's making $15 an hour. All of a sudden, the brand new person who gets hired, who's put no time in, right off the bat is earning the same $15 an hour. How do you think the guy who's been there for 5 years is going to feel about that? You think he's going to be excited? You think he's maybe going to say, well, I think I'm going to look for another job because that's unfair. And look, life's not fair, but if life's not fair, you try to make it fairer. Chances are, he'll probably look for another job. He'll grin and bear it while he's employed, but he'll be out looking for another job. Just like every person I've ever known who got hired at the same rate as people there for a long time, they went and looked elsewhere, Larkin, for another job.
So it's a good point. It's an excellent point. As we faced minimum wage increases through my career at companies that maybe had a starting level job of paying, I can remember $2.79 as a minimum wage. As it grew, you had to address the people who had been with you for a certain length of time and deserve, some sort of consideration for what was being pegged, I guess, by Congress as a cost of living increase. Well, if you're going to give a cost of living increase to the bottom rung of the ladder, everybody gets it. And I can tell you there's not a union in this country that will not remind the employers when that happens, that some consideration has to be given to every employee who is affected by, and every employee is affected by the increase.
Larkin has said before, I've concurred, I don't want to speak for Mark, but I'm going to give him a shout out in a moment, that when we talk about the why something happened, the why about products not being made here, look at what Mark does, okay? Mark is a person who, because of his pioneering work, and there's others who are listening to our show who do the work, right? You've got Mike Sessions in California talking about Made in America. If people need to be shown the direction, Michael, right? People have to be shown a direction to go in. Even myself, I admit this all the time. Before getting to know Mark, I did not look at labels as regularly and often as I do now, Larkin. Full admission. It's not to say I never did, but I did it far fewer, far less frequently than before meeting Mark. Now, why, Michael, do I look at labels more? Why, when I go to buy something that's going to be, let's say, not your everyday consumable product, why do I ask Mark, hey, Mark, do you know anyone who makes X product here in the U.S.? I want to buy an American-made version of it. Before meeting Mark, Michael, rarely did I do that. Larkin, rarely did I do that. So let's not, in all the blame to go around, let's also not let our fellow Americans off the hook here for not really thinking about this at the forefront. Granted, we didn't have a lot of direction, and we can then turn to the people who have influence, Larkin, who have audiences in bully pulpits, and ask, why is it that they don't talk about it as much as they should have in the past? Now, what's done is done. Can't change the past. So then it becomes a question of how much are we championing right now, Made in America? How much have we championed it for the last several years? And all you have to do is look at the people championing it and actually trying to do something about it, Michael, and that'll show you who's actually engaged in and looking to do that. Mm-hmm. If not, it's just talk. And anyone can talk. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their... It's inherent in the DNA of humans. Humans have roamed the earth for 6 million years. It's inherent in our DNA to worship our worthless opinions. It is.
I love it.
It's what it is. It's like, hi, honey, I'm going to go kill the buffalo for dinner, skin him to go and create the roof over our head, and then I'm going to go on Twitter and have an argument with some idiot in the next village over and espouse my worthless opinions while he gives me his worthless opinions. And at the end, we've exchanged a lot of worthless opinions, but no one's actually learned anything, Larkin. So just look at who's doing something, Michael, and that'll tell you who's in it, who's in the game and who's not. Just show me what they're doing. It's all I care about. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what anyone says. It's like, how many people didn't vote for the president's reelection because they didn't sometimes like what he said? Meanwhile, the guy was a mostly benign president constitutionally and was someone attempting to do something regarding losing ground to China. But we didn't sometimes like what was said. I don't care what people say, Michael. All I care is what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, guys, time moves very, very quickly, so we really have to use time wisely. But when I look at what those great elected leaders did over the last 35 years as businesses slowly almost snuck out of America, they did nothing. In fact, I took note in the last, when they were debating this bill, American workers came up maybe 1% of the time. I went out of my way to watch the testimony given in support of this $1.9 trillion. American workers were the last thing on their mind. It was, we got to get money to the people, and spending the money in the economy will make the economy better. There was no thought of, maybe we need jobs, so when the economy does get better, we'll have a continued good economy because people have jobs and they're feeling good. People in the leadership position for years, and many of them are still in there, they sat back, said nothing as these companies were leaving. Nothing. They said nothing. They said nothing as poverty in America grew. It diminished. It went down in other countries, but it grew in America. Did they ever say, we got to address it? No. We got to get more stamps. We got to get more this. We got to get more that. But never, how are we going to address? How did poverty go from 3% to 9% to whatever percentage it went up to in the last 35 years. How did that happen? How? Because our jobs are located somewhere else. The factories are empty, or they're apartments or something like that. In fact, I had a man who stopped me and told me, he said, you know, Michael, the company that I worked for 20 years, a man is now 55 years old, has been bought up by a foreign country. We know the name. We don't have to ask the name. And the thing is, he said, now I, like Mark says, China's a long walk to work. He says, I have to find something. And guess what? There's nothing in the field of my expertise. It was picked up and taken to China. A man from Lee Tires, we were talking about Lee Tires last week, or Continental, whichever tire Mark was talking about. Lee Tires in Conshohocken. Back in the late 80s, somebody came in, one of the members of the family died. There were some changes in there. And the next thing you know, they just closed down the place and sold off some of the equipment to a foreign provider. And that foreign provider changed the name of Lee Tires in Conshohocken. And that's the end. People just, oh, well, that's the way it goes. Why wasn't
that
there?
That is the way it goes.
But, okay, but Larkin, why is there no Americans able to take over a tire company that was making all tires for all the brand new cars? Why couldn't they take that plant over rather than sell it and move the plant equipment to some foreign country?
Well, why? I'll tell you what. You know, there are fewer risk takers in this country now. There are more now than there were 10 years ago. The number is coming back because the American working public is being forced into being a risk taker. But when the economy is strong and it's piping along and people, 40 hours of work and you go to work and you come home at 5 o'clock and you put your feet up and you don't have another thing to worry about. You know, Mark Andel used to say all the time, his definition of an entrepreneur is a hardworking guy who trades in a 40-hour-a-week job and good pay for 120 weeks an hour and hardly any pay at all, trying to make his idea, trying to birth his idea. That's when this country has its risk takers, and we don't have a lot of risk takers right now. The government's going to take care of you.
I know, but Larkin, I understand your point, but there is a particular senator that made a comment a few years ago. He said, the squeaky wheel gets action. The oiled wheel waits. What that simply means is if you want action, you have to squeak. You have to make noise. If you don't make the noise, you will not get anything. And that's the problem in the United States of America. No one squeaked. Be it people in Washington, in local states, in communities, in businesses, no one squeaked.
So let me ask you something. How do you think that Walmart got to be the largest retailer in the history of free enterprise? How do you think that happened? Do you think it happened because he built stores on every corner? No. Do you think it happened because he decided that he was going to build stores that had everything you could possibly want or need in it? No. Is it because he happened to sell stuff so cheaply that you regardless of your position in our economic society, you made note of the fact that, man, I can go to Walmart and buy a pair of pants $10, $15 cheaper than I can buy them anywhere else.
Well, that's true.
It's in their own price.
I agree. So, but, you know, Larkin,
what's wrong with that?
Well, what is wrong is that they're not looking at the long-term well-being of a customer. If a customer can come in today and buy that because they have a job, but as those jobs diminish and the coronavirus comes into the situation and relocating over the world our businesses, that person's not going to be spending so much. So in order to get the people in, the profit, big profit that they were getting, say, 3-5 years ago from all those foreign products, is not there like it used to be.
But Michael, can I?
It's not there like it used to be, Larkin, because now they're getting foxy overseas and they're sending this stuff and it's costing more money. It will get to the point where we will be able to make the things in America, save on the shipping money and the on all that bringing it over, and it'll be made in the state or in the country that it's sold. I don't buy anything anymore unless I really can't do without it that is not made in America. Every person that knows me when I enter a store, they know that I am looking.
That's great, Michael. That's great. That's great.
If every person did that, then we would have a better economy because businesses want to make money. They don't. They want to make a dollar, whether they make 75 cents or a dollar. They want to satisfy their customers to keep the customer coming back. And that's the bottom line. If the customer is looking for something American and they can't find it and walk out the door, well, then they lost a customer.
Let me give you a small reminder. We are in the middle of a pandemic.
That's
at
correct.
At this point, it's not where you buy it, who made it, or who built it. It's how do I get the food in my family's mouth? How do I pay the rent and the electric bill so that I can survive? And that's what's on American minds right now.
And you're right.
And if you give them any sense of an answer, you're going to be a hero.
And Larkin?
And giving them $1,400 in one check.
It's a temporary solution.
Not the answer.
That's right. Very temporary solution. And the thing is, Larkin, that's true. The pandemic did cause enormous hardship in our country. But we went for 33 years before the pandemic through this with these foreign countries taking our businesses. And nobody squeaked. There was no squeaky wheel. No squeaky wheel. A president could be on the television every 2 weeks giving a report on what they're doing to encourage businesses to come back. When did we see that in the last 35 years? Maybe under President Trump, he came out more. But before that, virtually nothing. Yes, Rich.
My theme today is human nature. It's just the nature of man, Michael, that most humans, there's two approaches to everything in the world. It doesn't matter what it is, the pursuit of pleasure or the avoidance of pain. Those planning tonight getting drunk on Guinness are pursuing pleasure. But when you look, Michael, at those who are, shall we say, visionaries, those ahead of their time, Mark Handel's such a person, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
They're not actually driven by the pursuit of pleasure. They're driven by the avoidance of pain. Now, maybe Mark didn't sit around and say, I'm driven today by the avoidance of pain, everybody. But that's what actually drove what Mark did. So when does the vast majority of our you know, friends, Romans, and countrymen, when do they start to care about something, Larkin? I mean, really care about it. It's when they feel the pain from it. Right? That's when they start to feel it. So for a lot of people, Michael, they are feeling now the pain of being in states that have been shut down for quite a long time. And those who didn't pay attention to any of these issues and are now, this isn't even about assigning blame. I'm just saying it's that when they start to feel the pain, that's when they start to to pay attention, to care. But the problem with that is that a lot of times, Michael, it's really, really late in the game. And sadly, it's sometimes too late in the game. And look, companies for years, Michael, banked on the fact that no one was going to say, I'm very happy to be paying less, Larkin. Can you maybe not make it in China? No, people just said, I'm very happy to pay less, and they didn't give a shoot about where it was made. So companies banked on that, Michael, and actually really essentially won that bet because they waged that people would be happy to buy stuff quick, cheap, conveniently, and wouldn't give a damn where it was made.
That's right. You're exactly right.
And they were right. And they were right about it.
You are 100%.
They won that bet, Michael. They won that bet.
You know, I have to tell you this. This is going to – Shane Mark is away today. He's on a special visitation. But I have to say this. You know, a person like Mark Andel should be such in demand on just about every radio station and then every television station to tell his story, to influence other people that would like to open up a business in this country and feel this is an example. Let's follow this good example. This man who suffered under situations, you know, that he would not have gone through, but he never gave up. No, they don't want to do that because they don't want to offend their foreign advertisers. I could have foreign advertisers. I don't want them. I don't want them. Period. And I don't take them even for any of our six other day programs. They have to be American-based, even if they're selling ethnic foods or whatever. I want them American-based because otherwise the next person comes in. And by the way, there's always somebody who wants to bring you a product to advertise that you don't really want to advertise. They're a dime a dozen. But to me, that's like a double slap in the face. I am telling the people one thing, and then I'm advertising another. It doesn't make sense. But Mark Andel should be such a man in demand because of his story, because of his example. And yet, he should be on World News tonight for 3 to 5 minutes talking about his story. He should be on CNN and on Fox. When did that happen? When is that happening? No, they're only worrying about what the Queen of England is saying and this and that. All nonsense. All craziness. Nothing to tell you how you're going to better your life. I'm talking today as a social, with my social service hat on. When somebody comes to me and they have a problem, I don't want to say, well, this is the way that it goes. No, I try to find a way to help that person. Especially if that person is elderly. Many of these people worked hard and they deserve every minute of attention. And by the way, majority of those people don't want all this free stuff. They don't feel that they earned it. They don't want it.
But Michael, did you hear what Larkin said earlier?
Yes.
Can't have the cake and eat it too.
The squeaky wheel,
Larkin,
though, does
Larkin,
get the
Larkin,
oil.
I'm looking for, you know, tires made in the U.S. I'm looking for, I don't know, I'm looking for light bulbs made in the U.S. I'm looking for printer paper made in the U.S. Oh, I found it right here. Oh, but it's cost more than China made. Right.
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 And that's news to you?
No, but the
right.
thing
and
is,
you know
Rich,
what?
If every if
is,
every
though,
radio
Michael?
Station and every television station gave these people the access that they need to promote their products at a reasonable price, then hey, this would be great. But it's not done that way.
And Michael, not ever. And just to be clear, and again, thanks to Mark, I am so much more attuned to all of this. What I discover is that for so many products, maybe some that we don't buy regularly and maybe some we buy all the time, the American-made products are often actually not more expensive, Larkin. Oftentimes, they're not more expensive. But for products that maybe we don't typically buy all the time, like a whiteboard, like I bought, and I asked Mark, do you have an American-made whiteboard company? He wasn't sure. I found one. Tires. How about this or that? Whatever product it is, Michael, if it ain't stuff you're buying normally all the time, yeah, it's going to cost more. So you can't lament about, right, Larkin? We can't hear Jeremiah's and Shakespearean lamentations about, I want more made in the U.S., and then when there's more made in the U.S., it might cost a few bucks more. And then say, oh, do you have, I guess I'll just buy the one made in Wuhan today.
Yes, well, the thing is, if we can get more products made in America, the cost of production may be able to come down. Maybe that cost would come down.
But, Michael, no one will ever make more here if no one has any demand for it, though.
That's
correct. If no one actually buys American-made tires, why the hell would a company say, let's just make them more here?
You're absolutely right. But, you know, today is a special day, and as I said, especially for Larkin and all of our Irish-American listeners. And if you want to know what's happening in the Irish community, you can go on the front page of PolishAmericanCenter.com and click on the Saluting Irish Americans and St. Patrick's Day link. It's right there on the front page. When you get a chance, look up the Irish-Polish Society in Ireland and Poland. You'll really enjoy the things that they do. There are a number of these groups out there. May God bless you. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Have a great one.
There's a tear in your eye, and I'm wondering why, for it never should be there at all. With such power in your smile, sure a stone you'd beguile, so there's never a teardrop should fall. When your sweet lilting laughter's like some fairy song, and your eyes twinkle bright as can be, you must laugh all the while and all other times smile. And now smile, smile for me. When Irish eyes are smiling, sure 'tis like a morning spring. In the lilt of Irish laughter, you can hear the angels sing. When Irish hearts are happy, all the world seems bright and gay. But when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they steal your heart away. For your smile is a part of the love in your heart, and it makes even sunshine more bright. Like the linnet's sweet song, crooning all the day long, comes your laughter so tender and light. For the springtime of life is the sweetest of all, and there's ne'er a real care nor regret. And while springtime is ours throughout all of youth's hours, let us smile every chance that we get. When Irish eyes are smiling, sure 'tis like a morning spring. In the lilt of Irish laughter, you can hear when Irish hearts are happy, all the world seems bright and gay. But when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they steal your heart away. When Irish eyes are smiling, sure 'tis like a morning spring. In the lilt of Irish laughter, hear the angels sing. When Irish hearts are happy, all the world seems bright and gay. But when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they steal.